Hello and welcome to What Else Is On, the show on the Else Nerds Network, where we talk about the TV and movies that a bug has dive bombed me that we were watching over the past
Ant-Man.
Week.
Ant-Man!
Just so distracting, takes you right out of it. You're starting almost a half hour late, and you're just like, what? But I am Gregor Sprague, and joining me as always is Corey Scott. Corey, how you doing?
But
you weren't feeling all that great with your neck, which is understandable. It's like, hey, you got to take care of you. And then when we tried to reschedule it, I was like, hey, can we do it during a sleep study? No.
I had a sleep study on Wednesday night. And I think my Facebook's open to people. I don't know. If you look up Corey Scott on Facebook, or maybe it's under facebook.com/captain. I had to take it with a flash to be able to see me, so I couldn't actually see what I was taking a picture of. Yet I still looked fantastic. Otherwise, and that seems to be the problem, is I'm at that age where I sleep wrong, which is ridiculous because I've done it my whole life. I used to be amazing at it, and now it's like most of the last couple of weeks I've either had back pains or neck pains. Horrible neck pains, just in general from like, I woke up and now I hurt. Anyways.
Yeah.
So that's why I wasn't here. I'm just old and crickety, but otherwise I got to watch some TV, and that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheers.
And I sort of said on Slack, I think I might do one. And then I'm like, I just got busy with doing stuff for other people, trying to get a job at a Boost Mobile store, and haven't heard back from them yet. And then a thunderstorm last night. Oh, and getting Injustice Gods Among Us on Steam, the Ultimate Collector's Edition big bundle thing that has all the DLC. And so time suck for the past 2 days has been that.
Nice. I think I talked like a couple of months ago how I got Destiny and took forever to download all the patches for my PS3, and that is in fact the last time that I played the game, so obviously good investment there. I think I got it on sale. Windows 10 challenging, obviously setting up with my mic and my headphones and everything right before the show. That was good timing. But overall I'm pretty happy with it. Not hard to get. You can download it and install it over your existing system. It's just that you have to do that before you can actually do a system wipe, because you have to get the code for your system to be able to install it and then not have to pay for it. So there's some tricks to it. You can find those online. But I downloaded it last. But overall, that's an expectation with any new operating system. There's always going to be little glitches and tricks here and there. And from what I was listening to on Twitter, it sounds like the more official version of Windows 10 isn't supposed to arrive for another month or two, is when they're expecting the first kind of like patch for it. That's what was supposed to be the patch it later. So they give you something that's pretty much unusable, or certainly overpromise you what that stuff could do before you get it. And you're like, oh. Yeah. I think that's a pretty pathetic system that's been in existence for a few years, and I think it's one of the worst things that the internet has given us, aside from comments on anything, from YouTube to blogs to what your grandmother posts on Facebook. They're both pretty bad examples of where technology has advanced, air quotes. So yeah, that's my fetch. I'll complain about something else in a second.
Oh, yeah, and I have complaints right now. We should almost start a podcast called We Have Complaints, because typical setup for our show is I record the audio live through Voice Meter Banana and then onto Audacity while we're doing the Hangout. And if you haven't noticed, Corey's audio might have been sounding a little herky-jerky and all that. Turns out it wasn't him, it was me. I don't know how, but I close Audacity, quit doing Audacity, and I can understand him clearly without in there.
Oh, it could be bandwidth issues.
Yeah.
It's tricky to rock a rhyme to rock a rhyme that's right on time. It's tricky. And
it's tricky. But yeah, so enough tech talk with the tech guys or whatever. We got some TV shows that we've watched and a movie that Corey's seen. I've seen Justice League Gods and Monsters Again. Still like it. But yeah, so let's start with our Big Brother talk. Because we went a week without talking Big Brother. We gave you guys that break. We didn't do a show in between, so hey. But so Big Brother, the twins are in. The
Sixth Sense?
Yeah, the Sixth Sense is all in power.
No, they're not in power. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah, they're not in power. They were in power last week. And
I do not recall. Wow. It was Devon. And then who was...
Jace
was first.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Wow, it must have been somebody that was very memorable. Jeff, that's right.
Okay, Jeff, and then yeah. and then Jason.
Jeff and Jason. Yeah. So I was somebody was complaining about like, oh, they got rid of Jeff. They got rid of it was. I think it was probably Jackie. And I'm like, well, that's fine because then it just cuts down on J names because we still got Jackie and
Julia.
And that's terrible. And who, James is the one that's in power right now, so. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I'm not calling Austin like an actual Judas. His wrestling name is Judas.
No, I think the actual Judas was probably a little bit cooler. it's terrible. Austin was from the first episode. My wife was like, okay, maybe crushing a little bit on Austin. That wore off really fast, especially his just total suckering after semi-stalking of Liz and just like I appreciate a romantic person. I appreciate having a romantic heart that I'm like that. But he's just not playing things well and he almost got knocked out of the game because of it. And I kind of see like how the whole Sixth Sense is breaking down right now. It was to see Shelley and Clay feeling the heat. I know they feel ultimately betrayed and everything. Shelley's mentality of she was one of the last three who was up for head of household this week. All of the people in her alliance had already dropped off. And she's like, well, I just felt it would be bad for my game if I got HOH again. It's like, no, your game is to get HOH as much as you possibly can so that you don't get kicked out. If nobody else in your alliance is up there, you need to stick it out.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sit there and say, oh, it's bad for my game, my social game, whatever. No, screw your social game. You don't sit there and turn to the person that you're handing it to and say, well, don't eliminate me and Clay and forget everybody else in your alliance anyways, because then they have no reason to try to protect you. You know, yes. So none of us are empowered. We have to figure out which one of us is going home. I think I'm going to try to send home the person who didn't have my back.
Yeah.
And that is blowing up in their faces. It's not like I didn't like the people in the Sixth Sense, but I always kind of hate the people who are running the house. It just feels really boring that they keep winning and they keep getting out the people they want to get out. And it's nice to see that get disrupted. And having a power couple, essentially from the very first week, you know, Clay and Shelley were hooked up. Everybody could see it. It's a smart idea to get rid of them. You want that eliminated. You want to break those two up. So, right on.
All right, keep talking. I was trying to do something and I now can't hear you.
Well, that's great. Who is... Okay, yeah. In charge last week was the one that should have been the target this week for everybody because she didn't backdoor Judas like she was supposed to. She turned around and got rid of Jason instead. But yeah, total target taken off of her back because of the fact that Shelley and Clay were more obvious.
Almost like they're trying to be the puppet masters pulling all the strings, and the puppets realized it a little too soon.
Well, that and, you know, they were definitely part of that. You know, we should get rid of him, you know, because he's becoming a loose cannon. Shelley was the one who called Vanessa over when Jason was telling her stuff. It's like, hey, did you hear this? You know, Austin told Jason that there's another twin and her name is Julia. La, la, la. So she was definitely part of the whole thing of getting Austin out of there. And then Austin came crying and said, I would never betray you guys. And they changed their mind at the last second, but they pushed that on Vanessa. Vanessa was still set to see things go. And Austin was, at that point, still her biggest ally.
Yeah. And so, I think, and honestly, the other part with it, though, is I think Liz is lying to herself a little too much because I think she might actually be starting to feel a connection with him that could
The more that I see of her saying stuff, I don't really put that together with her.
I do because of the fact that she almost seems naive to the fact that when her sister was telling her at one of the last switches that...
As much as she says she has her sister's back, I think she likes the fact that there is another strong player who's putting her above everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, and while Julia may do that to a certain degree too, she and Julia are targets when they're both in the house together. Mm-hmm. But Liz and Austin are not as, like, focused for that. People will still look at them as two separate players, but they'll look at twins as the same player, you know, and that's how they came in. That's essentially how they had to do it. Now there's three of them. So I think she still believes that if it came down to it, Austin would protect her over Julia. Julia would protect her over Austin, definitely. So she just wants to keep that force where they're both on her side and not really into each other. That I think is a big deal. She said, she's like, no, Austin would never do that to me. And Austin wouldn't do that to her, but he would do it to her sister.
Yeah. But I mean, again, you're saying stuff about time and place. That does not seem like the time or place to do that at all. You know, I mean, like, actually, honestly, like, if you want those car, if you want these two to be, if you want the twins to be loyal to you, but yeah, her twin, she has a twin named Julia. It's like, you're gonna put doubt in her, especially if you're looking at a final three going with, like, putting up someone else besides, you know, make it to where they have control. Like, you know, you put up Austin or whoever as a pawn, but that third person's going to vote out the other.
Yeah. I think it was a bad move. I don't think it was an intended move to, like, try to conspire against Julia. Is that even in her own group, she doesn't have a partner. You know, Clay and Shelley are definitely partners. Liz and Julia, definitely partners. Austin should have been and was in her mind more her partner. But then Austin kind of puts Liz ahead of her. And, you know, I don't think he was trying to imply to Jason really, or try to start anything with Jason to get rid of Julia. But I think his gameplay was poor. And in the end, Liz still saw it as, but it's not an attack on me. You know, he screwed up, but he's still looking out for me over everybody else. So she wanted that there. As far as timing, it doesn't matter if it's this week or 4 weeks down the road. At some point, it's going to come down to, you know, if Austin has a choice to make between anybody else and Liz, he's going to protect Liz. And that's good for Liz's game.
Yeah.
You know, and Liz believes that Julia would do the same thing. It would be very interesting to me if Julia finds her own connections in the house away from her sister, because of the fact that I think her sister is going to start to expose the way that she's playing more and more. And I think that's another part of it, is that this has been Liz's game for this first few weeks. So when Julia's come in, she's had to play as Liz and she's had to stick with Liz's alliances. She doesn't have to do that now. It may be beneficial for her because of the fact that other members of the house weren't necessarily in the know, although most of them figured it out. But it would be really smart of her to break ties, especially while the power is in someone else's hands, to say, look, I had to play as Liz. Now I get to play as me. You know, what can I do to prove my loyalty to you guys, to like James or Meg or whoever else is left on the other side? Yeah. I also don't know why it was such a problem for the rest of the house to keep Jason. They picked the wrong couple to get the votes over. Steve didn't seem to have any love for Becky in the last couple episodes when he's talked about her in competitions. So getting Steve's vote should have been very easy. And if they had gotten John's vote too, they could have kept Jason in the house instead.
Yeah.
And now we've seen a power switch, and the fact that even when you have numbers, it doesn't mean that you're always going to win. So they really blew the whole thing too soon by potentially putting Austin up and then backing down on it and getting Jason out when they could have at least gotten out somebody who no one had any care for, like Steve.
Yeah. So we're at, what, 10 people left? Or is there more?
Yeah, I don't know. The numbers are...
So I want to say it's like 10 or 11.
It's probably 11.
Yeah. But I don't, because, yeah, it's an interesting thing to think about here, because, I mean, and also, it's for me, it's weird, because I was thinking about this while you're mentioning the whole twins, and everyone knew. It's like, seems like everyone knew except for the current HOH. Like, he was, Jason was, or not Jason,
James.
James. Yep, see, J-name's like, what, J-name number 54 knew exact, or knew when it was revealed, and it's like, how does he not know, how did he know, or not know this before Austin? He seems brighter than Austin does a lot of the times. And, but yeah, I don't know.
Well, the reason Austin knew was because Austin was close to Liz and was part of an alliance where they all decided to make it work for them. Jason and pointed it out to Jason and caught that stuff really quick. That's the thing, is that Devon was a bad player, but she was not dumb.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So I want to talk real quick about a show that I saw this week that debuted on Cartoon Network, and it's called We Bear Bears. Now, this is big voices of Bobby Moynihan, Dimitri Martin, and it's this guy from that, like, I've seen him in a whole bunch of, he's in Complications right now too, but I can't think what his name is. And this is an interesting show. It's, again, Eric, because Edelstein. Cartoon Network. Yep, that's it. Eric Edelstein. It's one of these, like, you know, 15-minute shows. They had 6 episodes last week because they aired 2 on last Monday, and then they had a new episode for the following 4 days. And this is an interesting, not the most well-known person in there, but he's the center of the show with his character Grizz. It's like him, and then Bobby Moynihan is a close second, and Dimitri Martin's, or Bobby Moynihan's character Panda, and then Dimitri Martin's Ice Bear. He'll have like a couple lines per episode, but it's not, you never really hear Dimitri Martin talk quite a lot. It's always really short sentences, like Ice Bear angry or something like that. And it's really great because I'm like sitting there going, and it's funny, but I'm just like, wait, he's not talking. You have Dimitri Martin on here, but he's not doing a lot of talking. But it works out because it's just how his, there's one where they were doing a food truck. They're sitting there, they're all in this, they're wanting to just do a food truck business, and no one's buying their calzones, or their, I think they call them California calzones or whatever. And they go, like, I think, was it a raccoon steals a dollar essentially from another person? And so they start feeding the animals, and then hilarity sort of ensues that way of everyone, of all the animals taking over where the food trucks are at. Because, I mean, you know, from being close to San Francisco and Evan, from being in California, that food trucks, they love parking in the woods. But that's where these were at. They were in the woods. That was sarcasm if you thought I was being all serious. But it's, and I'm like, yeah, you should expect there to be animals here. You're in their neighborhood. You're not going out to like to some street and moving around there in like some parking lot or a Walmart selling your food. No, you're going to their hood. Sort of thing. But no, it's really funny. I think they're now, because Cartoon Network has this weird summer schedule of like a week of all new episodes, is my saying.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of, I couldn't even say that they were necessarily commercials, but some sort of little bumpers that were going on probably between episodes of Adventures of Gumball that
yeah.
we were watching one day, and they just kept showing this, and I'm like, what the hell is this? Well, it's Cartoon Network.
It was probably the one with like high, sure. It, they're three bear bears. And but no, it's really enjoyable. It's really cute. Because again, Dimitri Martin's character doesn't really talk all that much, and it's when you hear it, it's like, okay, this is definitely Bobby Moynihan. This is definitely, you could almost say this is definitely him, like some of his more lighter characters on SNL. When you hear it, but it's like his, clearly his voice. He's not really like trying to pull anything where you're like, wait, that's what, you know, sort of thing.
I like Bobby Moynihan a lot. Also, yeah. Patton Oswalt plays a koala bear.
A koala called Nom Nom. It's hilarious. That episode's really funny because they're trying to do a, like, get internet famous. Because they do the whole, you know, fake thing of, oh, no, go do something. No, here, do the cute thing of acting like you're a baby and falling over. Or I'm just an adorable, like, I think, what, 2 days goes by and Grizz is upset and he's like, oh, I need something to cheer me up. Ice Bear just goes, clicks on the video of Nom Nom, and it's just him eating, it's just a koala eating, like, grains, and then going back and forth like a mustache sort of thing. You're like, and then Penny goes, look at how many views it has. It has like 500 million views. And they spoof VidCon so well because they immediately go to VidCon and do like a next animal talent or next internet talent thing and meet Nom Nom later on. And it's Pat and Oswald. I'm like, yeah, that'd be who would voice Nom Nom.
Charlene Yee and Jason Lee both do voices on the show too. So quite the cast, quite a few people that I like a lot.
Oh yeah. But no, it's really enjoyable. And it fits pretty well with the group of shows that they have
Got to be careful because the group of shows that they have right now includes Gumball, which is one of my favorite cartoons of all time, it turns out. Adventure Time, which is a cartoon that I haven't seen enough of but really enjoy. Steven Universe, same sort of thing as Adventure Time, where I'm very taken with the mythology and the quality of the show, even though I don't get to watch it that often, but what I've seen has been amazing. And then there's Clarence.
That's how it is. Like, you got Clarence. It's at this, for me, at the bottom here. And if you like Clarence, fine. More power to you.
No, no, no. I will slap you silly, son.
but no, like you have Clarence where it is what it is. And then you got Uncle Grandpa, which is just weird.
Oh, yeah, it is weird.
And sort of thing. And it's like, okay, it's there, but I could see Wee Bear Bears fitting in with your first grouping of shows, like Teen Titans Go, Adventure Time, Gumball, Steven Universe, and all that. Like, I could see that fitting in with that more than Uncle Grandpa and Clarence, where they're just really weird. And this is coming from a dude who likes weird stuff.
To go anywhere, and all the kids are really dull. I like the one little bald kid because he reminds me of my friend Levi. But but again, there's nothing to the show, and Clarence just kind of like, hooray, and it's just, oh god, it's like an SNL sketch. The characters that didn't go anywhere. It's like the Pat sketches from the 90s. It's just flat. Yeah. But yeah.
So good.
Yeah, I mean, and the Uncle Grandpa episodes, probably my favorite was the one that Weird Al Yankovic guest started, because when he started his part, like, the voice sounds familiar. And then I ended up doing Wikipedia search, and I'm like, oh, it's Weird Al. Sure enough, right after, like, I had that realization, the thing that he is turns into Weird Al.
Well, what a great segue, because this weekend I decided to watch Wet Hot America Summer, First Day of Camp.
Is Weird Al in it?
Weird Al is in it.
I am letting myself down then, because I really need to watch the movie and then watch the show.
I did the reverse. Now, I've seen the movie for Wet Hot America Summer before, but it was kind of like, it was on, I think it came in partway through it. I didn't pay a ton of attention. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of very good people. Chris Maloney is the funniest part of both things, of the film and of the series. But I watched them in reverse because I just figured, well, it'll be even funnier to see them filmed in 2015, playing 15 and 16 year olds, and they're all my age, they're all like in their mid 40s, and then going back to 2001 when the movie was filmed, and them being essentially 15 years younger, still playing 15, 16 year olds in their 30s. So it was the series was 8 hours. It didn't feel as necessary as it went on, but there were still funny moments in each one. And I think the series was funnier than the movie. I think that they got to be a little bit more experimental. The other thing is that if you watch the series first, if you watch it chronologically, some of the jokes that would seem a little bit more offhand in the movie are explained in the series, and it kind of takes some of the magic away. Like in the movie, John H. Benjamin from Archer and Bob's Burgers. And in the show, he's actually in the series as himself, but it does show him become the can of vegetables. So they explain the joke. But it's funnier, I think, if you watch the movie without knowing that. By the way, spoilers. Ha.
Damn you, Corey.
Yeah. But just the amazing people that they got in here. John Hamm was in the series. Chris Pine is in the series, has a very good part, and Weird Al shows up. Michael Cera, like, just so many different people that just you're like, wow, and almost like a mini Mad Men. Well, I mean, it's Showalter and Wayne are from the state,
yeah,
and it's a lot of people that are from the show. Not everybody, you know, no Thomas Lennon, but. A lot of the people, Ken Marino, I can't remember the other guy's name, Michael Ian Black, definitely. Just a lot of fun. But to get Bradley Cooper in this group, in both, he was in the movie too, and then he shows up again for the series. The level of actors that they get to not just cameo, but be a part of this thing. Paul Rudd, when he was probably also working on Ant-Man, doing this. It's really good. The funniest part to me watching the movie after watching the series is that at the end of the series, they make a joke about, you know, we'll get together at the end of the summer and you guys will probably look even better. You'll probably look like 15 years younger. We watched the movie and a lot of the people look almost exactly the same. Like, some of these people do not age.
Yeah.
But Michael Showalter looks incredibly aged. And plumper in the series than he does in the film. And Aaron was like, oh, wow, he definitely looks like he's changed in the 15 years. I said, yeah, but I could almost see Showalter deciding to let himself go a little bit for the fact that he's playing himself, you know, what is supposed to be a younger version of himself. Like, I could see him doing that as part of the joke. But either way, it was a weird, weird show. Funny at points, over the top ridiculous at other points. I'm glad I turned it on when Erin was in the room because she wound up enjoying it more than I did, which is kind of expected. It's more of her level of humor. But man, to see this class of comedians and comedic actors and people who are not necessarily known to be comedic actors to do this kind of thing. If nothing else, just watch it for Chris Maloney. He's just so good in this.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. I was looking at current roles. I find hilarious just because like the one that's sticking out to me is Michael Cera as Jim Stanzel, Beth and Greg's lawyer. And I'm like,
yes.
Okay. If this is two of the camp counselors, that is hilarious because you have someone who is playing young being lawyered by someone who is playing old then, but it's the two camp directors or whatever they are, or counselors. Yeah. And they're like, oh, it's still funny because they're doing, you know, it's still, there's that age difference. It's like, really? And you sort of wonder then, why isn't he, I have no idea how to fix the mic. Like, why isn't he, you know, doing anything different about this? Or why isn't he in the movie sort of thing?
Right.
But it's like, so I think it's, when did the movie come out? Like 2002 or
2001.
Like 2001.
There's only one. Well, there's kind of a trick. So there's one kid in the movie that they have someone else playing the same kid in the series. Yeah, that's better. And then there's one kid in the series who goes from being a child playing it to being played by an adult, same character with a different actress, but she also played that adult character, which was still technically a kid as the character in the film. So it's kind of like it gives you the origin of her in the show coming up to the movie. The way they did that was pretty funny. But it's one of those things that plays out better if you saw the movie first. So maybe watch the movie first and have that fresh in your mind before you watch the series, as weird as it is. I would definitely say that if I was only going to watch one or the other, I would probably watch the series. I enjoy the series more. The movie has some good stuff, but the series, I think, was definitely an uptick on it.
Yeah.
Better music in the show. Better music all the way around in the show.
They have a killer soundtrack. I like the show even more now.
Well, I'm not even talking about the soundtrack, because the soundtrack is in the movie, the soundtrack is a little bit more like songs you've heard. In the series, there's a lot of that too, and they use the same theme for both of them. But there's a lot of original songs in the series that were written specifically for it, and those are the things that I kind of like. Oh, this is really good.
No, yeah.
Oh, there was a song at the end of the movie, a rap song with Chubb Rock in it that I really liked.
So let's talk. Actually, let's go to Starts and Stops, and then we can do more of our Gab Fest. I can talk about Humans. Because Starts and Stops, we have, because we are in August, we were actually going to cover this last week, but stuff happened. Because we have new stuff on Netflix and Amazon Prime coming out. And stuff that left. For example, Joe Dirt, you can't see that anymore on Netflix. Titanic.
Lucky you.
Unbreakable. And then coming up soon, Family Ties. You won't be able to see that after the 15th. Hero Dreams of Sushi on the 23rd.
And I think that's one that I kind of want to see before it goes, too.
Yeah, the 1981 series at the end of August, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends seasons 1 through 3. You won't be able to see that at after the 31st.
That was my Spider-Man series growing up.
Yeah, and all those being replaced by such wonders as Doctor Who season 8 on the 8th. Season 8 on the 8th. 8th month is August. Wow, that's weird. It's almost like they planned it. The 4th season of Once Upon a Time on the 28th. And then a whole bunch of movies coming in. Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Hurt Locker, Russell Brand from Addiction to Recovery. I'm just naming stuff as I see them. Just look on there if you want to see any of the other stuff that's out there on Netflix or Amazon Prime. But I will say, 2016, I will mention one show that's on Amazon Prime. That's because the Top Gear hosts will be doing a show for Amazon Prime. And I'm so excited about that.
Do you have Amazon Prime?
It's a big thing to get me to get Amazon Prime.
There you go.
So Tuesday, August 4th at 8 p.m. So tomorrow, August 4th, 8 p.m. on ABC is the CMA Music Festival Country's Night of Rock, or Night 2 Rock. 3-hour special presentations. If I say so myself, like, might have been one that I would have mentioned on the Sci-Fi Geeks Club if I was on there last, like, 2 weeks ago or so.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And then at 10 p.m. on USA is the second season premiere of Playing House, a show that I really, really love. NBC, you have the one-hour special presentation on Wednesday, if I didn't mention that part, of America's Got Talent, The World's Got Talent. And El Rey has the first season finale of Lucha Underground. At 9 p.m. on CBS, you have the back-to-back episodes of Extant. And NBC has the series premiere of Mr. Robinson. And then,
which I've set my DVR for. I saw an advertisement for that. I'm like, wait, where did this come from?
Yeah, and it's weird because it seems like it's a little early to be a fall show.
I don't think it's a fall show. I have a feeling it's one of those ones that they're going to blow through all the episodes doing two at a time.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see anything advertised with it, like, here's your new half-hour comedy. Well, and I've seen after that, we'll just show dead air for a while. NBC. Look at our static.
What was the other show? I saw on different stages of their life. I can't think of the name of the show right now or who's in it. But then there's.
I think that's on CBS, though. That's the one that's got Diane Wiest. It looks like an attempt.
NBC, or at least I'm thinking it's NBC now, that it's like. All I know is a black family. And I know it's not Mr. Robinson, but I can't think of what it is. It's like Welcome. There's Welcome in there or something. I don't remember. Not important because we're doing sources up right now. And then 11 p.m. on Sundance, you have the first season finale of Deutschland 83. And on Thursday at 8 p.m. on Velocity, you have the sixth season finale of What's My Car Worth? And then at 9:30 on CW, you have the first season finale of Dates. Technically also series because they haven't done anything new over in Channel 4 where there's aired two, three years ago. The final week starts in a half hour for me. On Friday at 3:01 a.m. on Netflix, you have the complete first season series premiere of their first Spanish language show called Club de Cervos, something like that. It's like, I've read the description, it's supposed to be like this show that's like a blend of comedy and drama and all that stuff. I'm like, oh, cool. If I understood Spanish, I would probably watch that show, but I do not, so I am not going to because I don't want to read a TV show.
Weren't you just telling me to do that with that Swedish show, though?
But Welcome to Sweden, it's not all Swedish, and I'll be like, wait, what's going on? Oh, I just died. Sort of thinks I'm playing a video game while watching a TV show. But anywho, back to Friday at 10 p.m. and at 10:30 p.m. on E, you have the series premiere of the comment section, which I could assume is them pulling out another YouTube star to just read the comment section of random videos.
Oh no.
I didn't look at any of what that description was. I was like, oh, okay, I'll mention it.
Although if they get somebody at the level of Grace Helbig, I'd watch it. I really like Grace and I liked her show.
Oh yeah. And then on August 8th at 10 p.m., on FYI, you have Cabin Truckers, the series premiere of that show. Excuse me. 11 p.m. on TBS, you have the series premiere of America's Next Weatherman. And BBC America has the second season finale of Atlantis. On Sunday at 8 p.m., we're starting off the preseason of football with a special presentation on NBC of Sunday Night Football, preseason Pittsburgh versus Minnesota. At 9 p.m. on El Rey, you have the one-hour special presentation of the El Rey Network Presents, the Director's Chair with Michael Mann. and HBO has the 90-minute second season finale of True Detective. And then at 10:30 is a new episode of Special Time on HBO of Ballers, and 11 has the new episode of Special Time of The Brink. And finally on Monday, I forgot to highlight shows, pick them out. So on VH1, you have the series premiere of She's Got Game at 9 p.m. Spike has a two-hour special presentation, I Am Chris Farley. At 10:30 is the ninth season finale on History of Pawn Stars. And then at 10 p.m. On FYI, you have the series premiere of Style Unzipped. And that's it for Starts and Stops.
I do want to say on Wednesday they are playing an hour of Mr. Robinson. So that it does seem like that's probably going to be the thing. Maybe it was supposed to be teamed up with Welcome to Sweden, which has been canceled.
Yeah, but it aired through all of its episodes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So now on to the movie draft update where Beatmaster, it's you and Beat, dude. I'm calling this right now. It's like, it could go either way between you two.
I don't think it can go either way, but it's definitely, right now we are far ahead, unless you have a huge jump from Man from U.N.C.L.E., which looks very good, and Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I would have to have the next two movies perform incredibly, seeing as how Fantastic Four only has 5 weeks and Man from U.N.C.L.E. only has four, that we're counting their box office money.
But they do seem like they would have potential to be bigger hits. I mean, I didn't expect Mission Impossible to do as well as it did. I like the Mission Impossible movies, but this one, I think, ranked far higher than I expected it to in America, because it seemed like we have kind of turned our backs on Tom Cruise, which is unfair because he's so short, he's right at butt level. But I think that it's... sorry, Tom. Sorry, I have to say that. You've got better hair than me.
And Evan's bringing up the point that he thinks his movies are done, and yes, Avengers Age of Ultron is done making its money. The one that surprised me the most, because I saw the movie in my library, is Paul Blart Mall Cop is still making money.
Wow.
Yeah, when it's already out on DVD and Blu-ray, to the point where it's in public libraries.
Do they still have dollar cinema places? I mean, that's the only thing.
Base with $653.3 million. Corey is in second with $914.7 million. And Beatmaster did it. He won the race to a billion. He's got $1,107.03 million.
Yeah, and I mean, Beatmaster's at this point, since all my stuff is hit, and Vacation, while doing okay over this weekend, came in at a much lower number two compared to the number one of Mission Impossible. If there was something that could have like twisted things around, it might have been if Vacation overperformed and Mission Impossible performed at what my expectations were. That's not the case. So I don't see, with the $200,000 between us, how I could conceivably catch Beat at this point. Especially because I think Ant-Man is still performing well, and they're doing stuff to encourage people to go see it again. Mm-hmm. Marvel's really trying to give a push on that one.
Yeah, and Beatmaster has the best deal on a movie yet with Jurassic World. With Corey, you're very close in second with Pitch Perfect 2, like per dollar spent and all that. And
whatever happened to Pan?
Got pushed like 3 months later.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that does that part for the movie draft update. Now on to other shows.
And their programming. It's not that it's bad stuff. It's like, I'm just already so worn down from Walking Dead, and they did a marathon yesterday, and it was the season two where they're all on the farm.
Yeah.
And Carl kept not being in the house, and they were looking for Sophia. And I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus. Just I got the sweats from just even thinking about watching this stuff.
So what shows do you watch on AMC? Like, there's obviously Walking Dead, and I don't know if you're gonna start watching Fear the Walking Dead, but
I might watched the first episode, I'm not super excited for it. I don't want another one of those shows. I feel like between Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, which is obviously not the same network, but is the same kind of a feel show of like just waiting for people to die, I don't really need any more like heavy drama. And then this season of True Detective, which has just been, I think, someone trolling us. I'm almost positive that this is just like someone's elaborate joke. They're like, really? They're going to keep watching after the opening theme? Okay, well, let's see what happens when we kill Colin Farrell, but don't actually kill Colin Farrell. And then we do a whole gag based off of Conway Twitty, like Family Guy hasn't been doing that for the last 3 years. Come on! You know? It's just bad. It's just really... It's halfway to, oh, I can see that somewhere in this was supposed to be an enjoyable show, but then someone kicked your puppy. You know, just someone just came in and just straight up kicked little Pooch right in the face. Ergo, stick upright. But he was still my dog, man. And now you knocked his teeth. I feel that that's what True Detective is.
Hey, Lucky was a great dog.
Lucky left, and none of the season really makes sense. And there's revelations that have happened, but they don't really, like, it's not like they came from someplace good. They just sort of like, and here's a revelation. Really? Does that mean something? Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Just see. You know, see what happens next.
With how you're describing this, it almost sounds like you made the wrong decision for shows to watch. Overarching story here is there's this group of sentient AIs, or synths as they're calling the show, that they're trying to get back together because they're a family. They were all made by the same guy. One of them is actually a save as many memories as he could, even though it's not how the brain works, but sorry, nerdy science guy aside. It's a really compelling story, especially the end, where there's this great line from the dude from they broke up into groups throughout the whole show, and you have the guy who he's a cyborg, and then the one robot who's been with him throughout the whole part, he's at like 4% of a battery charge left, and the people who have been hunting them, sort of like Orphan Black in that aspect, even to the fact that they all have this piece of code that's like part of it's in each of them, sort of like the DNA sequence in season one of Orphan Black. But he makes a noble thing of to keep them, or to distract them people, he's going to jump off of the bridge into the water, and the guy's like, don't, you only have 4% if you turn. But no, this is such a compelling show to see the family that you follow throughout the majority of the story, the roles of the parents be flip-flopping back and forth, like their stances on robots, their stances on, you know, how like one's for robots, the other one's against, and they, because I'm not watching Halt and Catch Fire, even though I see the commercials for it, and I'm like, that one dude looks so familiar. And it's Lee Pace, who was Ronan the Accuser on Guardians of the Galaxy. And I'm like, but in my head, I'm like, is that Peter Serafinowicz? And I actually finally like Wikipedia'd him. I'm like, oh no, it's the other one.
Sort of. Or two. And I'm feeling so spoiled by that. Because I think as bad as this season of True Detective is, especially compared to the first season, which was so much better, 10 hours of a show is still pretty tough to do, but 10 hours over 10 weeks is a lot harder. Humans, I have a feeling it would probably be the same thing. I do not long to go back to watching a high drama show week to week. I'm doing it with Mr. Robot because Mr. Robot is, one, it's impeccably well done, and two, it's subject matter that I find fascinating and relatable and interesting. It just hits every note for me. There's a hacker streak to him, and also has like some, you know, has some things where he can really relate to the characters in the show. And he messaged me on Facebook. He's like, dude, Mr. Robot. He's like, it's mind-blowing. I'm like, yeah, it's fully awesome. And he's like, no, you have no idea. Like, well, I kind of do. I recommended it. So, but there are shows that I can handle because they're light and they're easy to get into. Suits is like that. You know, Suits is can be very good drama, but it's lighthearted in a lot of it. It feels like you connect to the characters. There's enough comedy. There's Lewis Litt. And that all works. But a show that is just so draining at the same time of going through that and like looking to that hour of like, oh, it's almost 9 o'clock, time to put on AMC and make sure the garage door is closed tightly and let the engine hum me into oblivion. I don't know if I can handle any more of that right now. Also, sci-fi stuff is not, don't tell Dave, it's not usually my thing. And so it's,
oh, same here.
Neither same are zombies here. Though. Like the fact that I watch a zombie show, that's so much more that it's something that I connect to with my wife. I look for shows that are for us. That's why I hold back and I'm like, okay, well, I'll watch Wet Hot American Summer when Aaron's around. The fact that she's really kind of sort of semi into Mr. Robot makes that better for me. When I watched The Kingsman a couple weeks ago and I made sure that she was going to be there because I figured she would like it and she really enjoyed it, that makes these things more compelling too. So for me to get into another show, like Sense8, I wish that had been something that Aaron would have liked. But I didn't even feel like trying it with her in the room. I was like, well, I'm going to see if I like it first. And now that I've seen it, I think it's an amazing show. I don't know that it's necessarily something that she would enjoy. Daredevil was a fantastic program, was so good. But again, I don't think it's something that she would be into. You know, I might try the Jessica Jones series with her just because it's a female lead and it could be a little bit different. And she likes Kristen Ritter.
Yeah.
But for this kind of show, I feel more compelled to give a show like that a try if it's something that I think that she's going to like too. And I will at least sit in a room when she's watching her shows to just see if I get something out of them. So that's why I have some knowledge of Degrassi and some knowledge of Pretty Little Liars, is because those are shows that, you know, she's gotten really into. And it's like, I'm not going to just like, oh no, go burn in hell. I'm going to go watch something else. It's like, no, I'll sit there and I'll get an idea of where the characters are every couple hours when I check in. And, you know, when she's on the edge of her seat and she's freaking out and screaming and stuff, I think that's really neat. So my whole viewpoint is colored more from, you know, her enjoyment. And the fact that I don't know if it's been officially announced so much, but the fact that I'm going to be doing a horror podcast over on Galactic Netcasts.
More officially announced than my project over at Galactic Netcast.
Yes, yeah. I was going to talk with you about that later. but the fact that I'm going to be doing that with Matt Stein was not even so much that I am a horror movie fan, although I do like horror movies to a certain degree, but it's that she loves horror movies. Mm-hmm. And that it was something that was going to be more time that I get to spend doing something that she likes. And I joked with Matt when it came up. I'm like, you know, this will get my wife to respect me. which is not a lie. It's not a lie at all. If anything's going to do it, it's this. But it's more that she's already watching these things and I kind of like tune them out. If it gives me the opportunity to watch these things tuned in with her, that is way more compelling to me than watching a AMC drama or a new HBO series, stuff like that. The things that I put on that are like, I've made my appointment TV, I always like it more when it's stuff with her. I think it's good to have time to yourself. I think it's good to have things that you like individually. But it's nice when the biggest things or the best things are something you can share.
Yeah. That's sort of how I am for a little bit with, like, when I find people that like I know, or there are people ask me because obviously I'm a nerd. I mean, I have a whole bunch of superhero t-shirts, a whole bunch of nerd. Like, I think all my t-shirts are nerd shirts now.
Yeah.
So it's like I had, I didn't because we didn't have a, but this one kid, he asked me DC or Marvel. And I'm like, ooh, any other guy, you'd be opening up the can of worms of DC is a superior product. Yep. Sort of thing. But I'm like, he opened up a different can of worms of, I'm going to explain to you why both are good. And here's five comic books at least from each publisher to start reading.
I appreciate that more. I appreciate the person who says, well, here are things that I like at Marvel. Here are things that I like at DC. Here are things I like at Image and Boom and other places too. You know, I'd rather ask somebody, what are the books that you enjoy, not which company you enjoy.
Yeah, because he was like, I think he was going more based off of the movies, and it's like, okay,
for Marvel.
For the latest stuff, are you wanting to go all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe versus Man of Steel? Of course it's Marvel. Now, if you were to pick one movie, like Marvel's best movie, DC might stand a better chance, but it's just because of the sheer numbers and how they varied their range, it's still Marvel. And this whole argument's making me sound like a Marvel fanboy. Sort of am, but I like DC too. But then I tied it into the comics, and I'm like, and I broke it down simply for him. I'm like, all right, what out of DC, who do you like? And he's like, I like Batman and Superman. I'm like, okay, which one do you like more? And it's like Batman. I'm like, haha, you fell into my trap. Here's 50 comics. Here's 50 comics, all in the Batman family that you should be reading. I didn't do that. I broke it down a little bit. I'm like, because I gave them both Batman and Superman, and which was fairly easy because Superman's like four books right now. I think Batman's three-ish? Yeah, three, because it's like Detective Comics, Batman, and then Batman, Superman. And then I threw in Batgirl because Babs Tarr. Yeah. And the fantastic writing. And, oh, hey, look. What's that right there? And then Marvel, it was the same thing. And I'm sitting there going, in my head, I'm going, please say Hawkeye. Please say Hawkeye. Please say Hawkeye. So I could just gush over the finale of Matt Fraction's and David Aja's run on Hawkeye.
Which I still haven't read. Man.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
I haven't read a comic in like 4 months.
Oh, no, I know.
I feel really bad. And like you were talking about with your t-shirts and all your nerd shirts and stuff. My t-shirts are nerd shirts, definitely. But I think at least 80% of them are comic-related nerd shirts at that. And I've been a comic guy for my entire life. And it kind of kills me that I don't have a real interest in comics right now. And I know what set me down this path. It just bums me out that I haven't worked my way out of it yet.
Yeah.
Because I want to go back to loving comics. I'm still buying comics. I'm still supporting my local comic shop. Obviously, I'm going to support it because it's also, you know, one of my dearest friends that runs it. But I just, there's some sort of block that I need to work out that's going to let me say, oh, yeah, this is why I love comics. You know, and remind me.
Hawkeye number 22.
Hawkeye number two, maybe if it hadn't taken a year and a half to come out.
Yeah.
And I don't blame the creators. I know Marvel pulled a lot of crap on that. But I think it's going to be something smaller. I think it's going to be some spectacular graphic novel or something that's going to finally grab my attention. I have The Sculptor by Scott McCloud that I got from Goodreads sitting out there on a table. And I just have not picked it up yet. And I think I need to clear some space and spend a day locked in a room, maybe in here with the air conditioner, and read something. I want to finish this book I'm reading, this Vermillion book by Molly Tanzer, which is so good and gets continuously better. It was not something that I thought I was going to like as much as I am as it goes on, but I am such a slow reader.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to take a block where I'm not doing a show here, and I'm not guesting on shows somewhere else, and I'm not watching TV to talk about on shows here, and I'm not watching movies for shows over there, that I can say, oh yeah, comics are fun.
Do you like the show Orphan Black?
I liked the first season. I was very taken with the actress and how she played so many different parts so well and so individually from each other. She was amazing. I liked her best friend character as well. The science mythology of it was kind of like, okay, I didn't get as much from the there's somebody who's causing these things to happen, and there's a villain somewhere. I didn't get as much from that, but the pieces of it were very good.
Yeah. Check out, I would almost say check out the comic, because it's a prequel of sorts to the first season. Like,
yeah, but I gotta be honest, that's the kind of thing that I usually have a real problem with, is watching a property that started out as something else, then becoming a comic book. Like, I don't really take to Star Wars comics. Even as a kid, when I really liked Star Wars, I didn't take to Star Trek in the same way. When I see a film or I see a cartoon or a TV series and then they bring it into a comic book, it doesn't matter if the comic is spectacular. It's still kind of like, yeah, but I already got this great experience where people moved and they had voices and stuff. The only thing where I felt like for a while at least I got a lot of the same feelings or some at least new worthwhile ones was the Buffy comics. And even that was hit and miss. But Buffy episodes were sometimes hit and miss, although far more hit.
Honestly, what I would say is go to issue 2 of Orphan Black. Because the first... No, a different clone. And the first one is... Sarah. The first one is Sarah... Or is it Beth? It's either Sarah or Beth.
I don't even remember who those people are.
Sarah's the main one. Okay. Sarah's the main one. Beth is the one that in the first episode killed herself by running into, or by going into the train tracks.
Okay.
So that's why I'm saying it's one of them two. I want to say it's Rachel because it's almost retelling the pilot, but then it fills in a little bit of other things in there to help expand the experience of if you just watch the pilot. Or like most people, you just watch the TV show, and then they went to the soccer mom. I'm doing it that way because you'll understand it, and I forgot her name. And then the third issue went to Cosima, and that one is a good one. Like hands down, you can read that one by yourself because it gives you how Cosima and her French lover came to be, sort of thing, and all that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a show that I didn't stick with past the first season. So to then say, well, maybe the comics will grab me. I don't know. I've gotta pick my battles. I'm more interested in a comic that's doing stuff in comics that hasn't been done anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know what I really need to do is I need to get off my ass and read Lumberjanes.
There you go.
Because that might be the one.
Well, at least up until I think this last issue or the upcoming issue where it's the last one for a long time of Noelle Stevenson's.
That she's yeah.
Done. But yeah, gosh, we should do a comic book show with how much we talk about comic books. And I like the episode. I think I like the episode. I can't remember what it was because of the fact that I went to Comcast today to help my grandma or to... My great-grandma, she's having a discrepancy with her bill. Turns out it's just her. And my grandma, a check bounced, so we had what Gina Torres or Patrick J. Adams is talking about when they're talking about, like, oh, hey, oh, it's great to work on the show and, like, and all this other stuff. And, like, I barely remember the episode.
This episode was the episode where Harvey goes up against one of his old nemesis guys that he thinks is just the biggest jerk in the world because his client is suing this company and going to start a sexual harassment lawsuit against them, which is not really relevant. And he throws his psychiatrist that he's been seeing under the bus by exposing her big secret. And it kind of is the breakthrough that he needs to start talking about his mother, which is what the season's been leading up to, the relationship with his mom, which we know is bad, which is part of what holds back his relationships with women like Scotty and with Donna and everybody else. It was good. It's an interesting season of Suits because it's much more about stuff going on inside Harvey's head than it is about an external foe, although they are bringing back the original partner from the firm who had basically done a lot on her head and stuff and tried to take things over from Jessica before. He's coming back, and he has dealings with the guy that they've been having problems with in the firm who's been trying to take Harvey's money away and getting Lewis to help him by exposing Harvey's income. Yeah. So I'm interested in that, but I think it's good because it has been a different kind of story for the show, which, you know, we talked about earlier in the season was starting to get to maybe they're repeating themselves now. You know, how many times can they keep going back to the well? Like, is Mike's secret going to be exposed to this mm-hmm. person now? How is this, or who's going to take over the firm here and stuff? There is those elements, certainly, but doing the stuff with trying to get Harvey to grow is, I think, much needed. I also like the new assistant that he has. She's been really good. I like that Donna was able to warmly welcome her, finally. It's been good. And they haven't focused a lot on Mike and Rachel this season, which is also good because I think they have the seasons where they do, and sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not as strong. The cheating season was really tough to get through.
Yeah.
And Lewis has been used incredibly well because he goes in an episode, he goes from being the guy you want to root for to doing asshole things to being back to the guy you want to root for again, or you at least feel bad. It's like, oh, Lewis.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying the where it's not the okay, who's our big bad, who's going to find out Mike's secret. That it is, we're focusing more on the character. We're growing the character of Harvey. That's one of the big things I'm liking about this season. And I could see them doing this as for the next however many seasons they have, where they're going to grow other characters. Like, they've grown Mike, they've grown Rachel, but sorry, email. To where they've grown Rachel and they've grown all these others a little bit, but to hit the core of the characters on why is Harvey this way or why is Lewis this way sort of thing.
I mean, we got some really good Jessica stuff last season too with her relationship and trying to make that work where she couldn't say exactly what was going on because of problems having to do with Mike and having to do with Lewis and all that stuff, and it wrecked her relationship, but it explored the character very well. It explored who she was. And now we've got sort of a bearing of, you know, how she relates to Rachel, how she relates to Donna, how she relates to Mike, and all these other people. People just come into your life and then disappear. People keep coming back. People keep interacting with you, and even if they're not the ones that you want to see, it makes sense that you're going to have to deal with them again at some point. So I think we're in a good place with the show. Like I said, it's at a point where it could have been getting repetitive, and then they managed to swing a little bit outside of the field.
Which is good.
Which is pretty good.
That just about does it for us. The only thing that's left is for me to do the outro. And you can find more of us by following us on Twitter at ElseNerds. And you can check out our new webpage at ElseNerds.com. And be sure to like our Facebook page where we have other little quick little fire stories that we find that are interesting to us at facebook.elsners.com. And you could send us mail at mail@elsners.com. And you can find our full archive of shows all the way back before the audio podcast part by going to watch.elsners.com. And we record What Else Is On every Monday night at 9:30 East, 6:30 West. And you can check out our sister network, which is quickly becoming our own network in a matter of speaking, because me and Corey are soon to have shows over there, possibly, hopefully, in the near future, over at neglectnetcasts.gncasts.com, where they do such great shows like the Sci-Fi Geeks Club, Adventure Party, Alien Invasion, the soon-to-be horror show. They might even be having a comic book show come up in the future. I don't know who they would get to host that, but yeah, whoever he is, he sure is a sucker. Birds, Galactic Gaming News, all sorts of fun stuff in little bite-sized portions, and you can find that all at gncasts.com. And this has been a Don't Tell Glenn production. We will see you guys next time.
Thanks, everybody.